that needs it. We would like to thank Karen Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lock Salon. We will initial us Shakespeare with parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leibas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, and the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So after a 3-week break, we are back in business, starting a new Mishnah. This is a famous Mishnah. It is somewhat hard to understand. By the end, hopefully you will still see that it is hard to understand. At least along the way, maybe you'll have some ideas or insights that come along with it. So let's jump in. I want us to think of questions as we read this Mishnah, both in terms of the text, as well as the context, as well as what practical things can we get along from this discussion. Don't cheat, but on the back of this page, don't look, don't turn the page. On the back of the page, I listed 10 questions. I listed 10 questions that we are going to ask as we go through this Mishnah. So start getting your mind going. I know it's early, but start getting your mind going as to different questions that we can ask. And as we go through these Mefarshim, we will analyze these different levels of questions. So let's go. Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna Omer. So Rabbi Levitas, a man from Yavna, said as follows. Me'od me'od have a shval ruach. Be very, very shval ruach, lowly of spirit. Shetikvas enosh rima. Because the tikva, so hatikva, what does hatikva mean? Hope. The hope of enosh, of man, is worms. This is the Mishnah. So let's start asking questions. Really? Okay, that's question number one. Really? Okay. Question number two. That didn't make it to my top 10. Yeah, question number two.
What does it mean,
shval ruach? Okay, so what is, let's define the terms. What does shval ruach mean? Is shval ruach different than other, what are synonyms perhaps that come to our minds when we think of shval ruach? Anava, is shval ruach different than humility? Does it mean humility? What exactly goes along with being shval ruach? Okay, good. Other questions? Right, so usually we hope for something good. Why are we hoping for worms? What exactly does that mean? Okay, no answers yet. Questions. What does enosh mean, right? Right, maybe I would have said adam, ish. Enosh is a strange word. I mean, we've seen it before, perhaps, but there's a word choice here. Why do we pick enosh rather than a different word for person?
Why is it double? Me'od, me'od.
Okay, good. Both of you at the same time. Why ma'od, ma'od? Very, very. Just say, heve shval ruach. Or heve ma'od shval ruach. Right? Why ma'od, ma'od heve shval ruach? So what's this added emphasis going on? So those are good text questions. Let's think in terms of...
Didn't we have a Mishnah previously something about man?
So we did have good. So we did have a Mishnah previously that has to do with turning into worm food. What is it? Right, so what did he say? Right, so Akavi Mahalalel says to think about three things. And one of those three things is that you are going to be worm food at the end of your life. So we did have this concept before. Good. What about previous Mishnah? What was the previous Mishnah talking about? I know we got to go back a bunch of weeks. But if you can cheat laser, you have your thing? You didn't bring it with you? Okay. What was our previous Mishnah that we spoke about? Mishnah 3 in Parak 4. I didn't give it to you, so you're going to have to really use your memory. Let's go, laser. We're waiting. Let's go. Come on. Mishnah 3. I know. Oh, sorry. I thought that was just a style statement. So to help you out, it says how we should treat other people and other times. It says don't be baz to other people. Alti baz lechol adam. Don't embarrass, don't downplay, don't underestimate other people. Because everybody has their time. Everybody has their, and everything has their place. Okay, so what we're going to see in the Mefarshim is does this Mishnah have a comment on that? So previous Mishnah says, don't embarrass anybody. This Mishnah says, be very very shval ruach. So we'll see if there are connections between those. Now, for those who haven't cheated yet, if you flip the page, let's go through our 10 questions. I think we got most of them. So why the double ma'od? All the way in the bottom. What is shval ruach and how is it different than anava? Why enosh and not adam or ish? Do people really want to be a worm? Now, this we didn't do. So if you notice, this is a subtle point. We have this often in brachos and psukim also. But it starts off, ma'od ma'od heve shval ruach. So who's that talking to?
You.
To you. You. It's nochah. You should be very, very shval ruach. And then how does it end off? Shetikvas enosh rima. That it's sort of like a general statement. It's not talking to you. It's saying people in general want to be worms. Again, we don't know what that means yet, but it's a change of subject within the statement. It should have said either you be very, very humble because you want to be worms. Instead, it says you be very, very humble because people in general want to be worms. Okay, so why does it switch? It's not your end, it's people's end. That's the question. So meaning it's just a subtle point. That's our question. Why does it switch from you be very, very humble to people in general want to be Rima? Right? So it should have said you want to be Rima, or it says people should be humble because they will be Rima. Right? So if you put this into Grammarly or whatever, somebody's editing this, they would have highlighted this. This is what it came up in red, that this is a change of, it's a grammatical problem. So we want to try to pick up, we're not answering the question yet, we want to try to pick up on that subtlety. Why does it change from you to people in general in the middle? So that was question number 5. Question or answer?
Question.
Good.
How can you say kvat enosh rima? Nobody wants to be a wolf.
Okay, so that was question number 4. So how can you hope, what does it mean that you want to hope to be a worm? It doesn't make any sense. Laser?
I don't remember.
In Koheles, is it this language? Maybe close to it. I don't know explicitly. Maybe you got to find the pasuk for me. But the concepts could overlap. Correct? Yeah.
I don't think it's saying the hopes of anybody.
No answers yet. Come on, no answers. Questions. Yeah. What? Only questions. Okay, good. Question number 6. How strong? So this we didn't ask. How strong is the connection between the two parts of the Mishnah? So meaning, if you read the Mishnah says, "Be very, very shval ruach." Because people want to be worms. Whatever that means. But maybe we could say, be very, very shval ruach, because it's a nice idea. It's good for you. Right? Be very, very humble, because that's what Hashem wants. That's not what it says. It says, be very, very humble, because you're going to be worms. So our question is, how strong is that connection? Is it essential? Can we split these two statements and say that Rabbi Levitas wants us to be humble, and he's giving us one reason to be humble, shetikvas enosh rima. But in truth, there's other reasons to be humble. So meaning, why is this, is it an exclusive statement that the reason why we should be humble is only because tikvas enosh rima, or are there other possible reasons why we should be humble? And if that's the case, why does he choose this over other possible explanations? Question number 7 is not directly from the Mishnah, but something that our mind should be thinking of. You're telling me to be humble, so tell me how to be humble. Right? Are there any strategies? Right? And then, 1 second, number 8, how does this fit with previous Mishnah? So we address that. Number 9 is even a broader statement, which we'll address but not get into fully, is that the concept of humility and shiflus, right, is a broad topic. And this is all over the place. This is in Tanakh, this is in Chazal, this is in, you know, the Gemara. You have scattered all over the place, you have concepts of humility. So where does this fit in the broader picture of what it means to be humble? 1 second, Morty, last question, and then we'll pause for other questions. And then number 10 is to make it contemporary. As we read this, I hope you're going to sort of be bothered. I hope as we go through the sources, it's going to be eating away at you to some extent. It's like, how does this fit in with how I think humility is supposed to be? How does this fit in with the contemporary concept of what it means to have healthy self-esteem? So as we read these sources, which predate the concept of healthy self-esteem, does it fit? Does it contradict? And how can I then perhaps integrate it into my own understanding of what it means to be humble, what it means to have a healthy psyche, and what it means to serve Hashem and serve others as well? Morty's been...
Rabbi Levita's Ish Yavneh. He must be an important person.
Okay, so good. I didn't put that...
From an important person to get to...
Okay, I mean, I would say that a broader question is, who's Rabbi Levitas and how does his personality perhaps affect the concepts of the Mishnah? So I don't think we're going to address that directly today. Maybe we'll have a spillover for next week, but I think that's a good question. How does his personality, especially when we're talking about humility, how does his personality affect such a statement? Well, I'll quote Chaim, he's not here today, but he made the Siyum yesterday, they made a Chal Shudas, the Gemara Chabur on Monday night. And part of the end of the Gemara of Sota says that after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, so anava, humility, dispersed. It no longer existed. And then Rabbi Yosef, I believe, gets up and says, don't say that there's no more humility because ika ana, because there's me. Right? So that Gemara itself is pretty funny. And it actually is used as one of the examples of humor in the Gemara. Rabbi Wallman likes to point out, because I think this is the second time somebody's quoted Minhag HaSiyum on Sotos. Rabbi Wallman told me yesterday, but he told me previously also, that the Vilna Gaon says that it's not saying Ana means me or I. There was actually a person, an obscure person, in like somewhere in the Yerushalmi, that's name was Ana. So Rabbi Yosef wasn't saying I am humble, he's saying Ana, that guy, is humble. Right, so just to piggyback off what Rabbi Shlomo is talking about, when we're talking about humility, the person who's talking, it is important to figure out what is their personality in order that if they're telling me something, then, you know, are they humble? Are they arrogant? Are they telling us to, you know, stay away from things because of their experience? Or are they saying that this is their character and that's why they encourage it? Okay, one last point, and then, actually, Morty's been waiting very patiently. Yes, Morty.
The whole concept of end of man. You're saying Tikva is saying end, the end of man. Well, what is the end of man? We have the concept of from dust you come to dust you go. Man is just, you know, realize what he is, a humble person, someone who really is nothing but dust starting and ending.
Okay, good. Although it wasn't a question. But we'll frame it. Put a question mark at the end, and then we'll address.
Ma'od comes from gracious, where it refers to a lucky day or something good. Very good.
Ma'od. Okay. Okay. Good. Last point. Then we're going to start.
Since we know that everybody ends up with wounds, why do you have to be a Nav? You can be a Rasha. You end up anyway.
Okay, so maybe it's maybe you could take this statement against it and say, who cares? I'm going to be a worm anyway. What do you care what I do? Okay, fair point.
Why is it so important that what's the difference between this kind of worm or this kind of worm?
Okay, maybe you get good worms versus bad worms. I don't know. Yeah, I. Okay, so good. So that could be. We'll address that. That might get into what the word enosh means, right? So where's the spiritual versus the physical, different parts of the body, different parts of the human spirit or psyche, personality for sure. Okay, good point. Last point. I don't care who raises their hand. Last point, yeah.
I thought Mima did not mean, it doesn't mean worms, it means worms food.
Okay, so, good. A little bit unclear within this statement. In the previous Mishnah, it did mean worm food. You could read it worm food here too. It depends how you sort of conceptualize what happens to you at the end of day. If you're worm food, then I guess you become the worm. So
no, because it's not clear for the end of man is the worm.
Right. So you could read it worm food, but I'm saying, but again, if you're worm food, at the end of the day, what do you become?
Nothing.
Well, you become part of the worm. So, I don't know. It's a fair point, but I'm not sure we're going to address it. Okay, so let's delve in. There are a lot of questions. There's a lot of things to keep in mind. It's not going to be systematic, meaning we're not going to go through this question by question. Rather, we're going to see each Perush. As we see the Perush, we're going to highlight what questions he is addressing in his commentary. So let's start with perhaps the most famous commentary on this Mishnah, and the famous theory that the Rambam creates based on this Mishnah for those who come to the Monday night Hilchos Dei Oshir. This should sound very familiar because the Rambam overlaps what he talks about over there. So here we go. Source number two, Perish HaMishnah LaRambam, Maseches Avos Perach Dal. Kvar Zacharnu B'Prakim HaKodmin. I've already said this in the past. This is not the first time where we spoke about humility. Ki ha'anava hi hamidos hama'ulos. Min hamidos hama'ulos. It's one of the best character traits you can have is anava. Vihi mimutsas bein ha'gaiva v'shiflus ha'ruach. So the Rambam's conception of character traits is that everything is on a spectrum. You have extremes and then you have the middle path. So anava, which is not what we're talking about in the Mishnah per se, anava, humility, is a great character trait, and that's the middle between gaiva, arrogance on the one side, and shiflus haruach, which is what we're talking about in the Mishnah, on the other extreme. So on the extremes you have arrogance and lowly of spirit. In the middle you have anava. So what should I do? What do you want me to be? Do you want me to be an anav, or do you want me to be a shval ruach? What's the difference between an anav and a shval ruach? Right? Gaiva we can understand. Gaiva is somebody who's arrogant. Maybe that itself needs a whole, if you want to really delve into the nuances to understand what gaiva is, that would be important, but we can just go with it for now. Gaiva means arrogance. But what does anava mean that it's in the middle? And what does shiflus haruach mean that it's on the extreme? So keep going. V'shem mida mimutzas zu v'ivris anava. So he repeats himself to some extent. This word in Hebrew, that this middle path, is called anava. Ulekatze harishon shemos rabin. We have many synonyms for the first extreme. Geva, livonayim. I've never heard that one. Gevalibo, space. Einayim ramos. Space, vigeaviram, right? So it's arrogant. It's having high eyes to be lifted of spirit. So that's in terms of the biblical terms, in terms of Chazal terms, ruach gvoah, vigasus haruach, umiskaya. So many synonyms for arrogance. Third line, vakseh acharon hu shiflus haruach. The other extreme is shiflus haruach. Ukvar be'arnu beperek harvi ki roi la'odom shiata la'echad mishnei aksavos al tzad hasiyag. So we already explained in the fourth perek. What's the fourth perek in the Rambam? Anybody know what he's referring to? Fourth perek of what? So we're in the fourth perek of Avos, but he's talking about the fourth perek of Shmona Prakim. Okay, the fourth, the Rambam in his introduction to Perek Avos has 8 chapters of introduction. So he speaks about in the fourth chapter in his introduction to Perkei Avos. So he already speaks about this. Kfar be'arnu beperek harvi ki roi la'adam shiyata le'echad mishnei aksavos al sad hasiyag. We should go into lean towards one of the extremes in order to create a barrier or a fence. Kedei sheyikva b'mitzua pa'ulos. In order that we end up in the middle. So it's a complicated statement, but for most character traits, our end goal is the middle. It's okay to veer off to slightly to an extreme with most character traits in order that it navigates us back into the middle. Right? So we aim, it's like you're shooting a rifle. Sometimes you have to shoot a little bit. You have to take into consideration, you know, the wind resistance and the humidity and the distance and whatever. And you might have to, you know, aim a little bit to the left, and then it'll go into the middle. So same here. With most character traits, you can aim a little bit to the sides in order to eventually get into the middle. Except for chutz mizos hamida levada mikol hamidos. Except for this character trait. This is the only exception. Now, for those who are in the Hilchos Dei Oshir, is this the only exception? Humility? No? It's not even Hilchos Dei Oshir. Come on, it's Perkei Avos. Anger. Right, so the Rambam in Hilchos Deos says anger is the other exception. So here is this actually gets complicated. I don't want to get too complicated now. But the Rambam, part of the reason the Rambam contradicts himself a lot of times, one of the explanations for why that is in order to prove a point. So here you can see that explicitly. Right, he doesn't mean the only thing is humility, because he says explicitly in other places that it's anger. But here he's talking about humility. He's getting his drasha on humility. He's not going to bother you with, you know, getting you sidetracked by anger. The only one, I want to prove a point to you, the only exception is humility. Like parentheses, footnote, you know, I don't really mean this. Anger is also included, but I want to make a point right now. Yeah. Okay, so meaning you can have extremes on Gemilas Chasadim. It depends what you mean by Ein Lahem Shiur. And Gemilas Chasadim isn't necessarily a character trait. Gemilas Chasadim is an action that might be fueled by a character trait. But even with Gemilas Chasadim, you can say that there could be, you could go too far, right? You could do too much for somebody else at the expense of yourself. So it's a good point, but... Let's put it to the side for now. So let's keep going in the Rambam before we pause, because he's not done yet. So chutz mizos hamida levad mikol hamidos ritzoni lomar hagayva ki legodel cheseron zos hamida etala chasidim, because it's so bad to be arrogant v'yediyasam benazika, and it causes so much damage. Rachku mimena ad haktzei acharon, run to the other extreme. Vinatu el shiflus haruach legamre, and become totally shfal ruach. We haven't defined that yet, but don't go to the middle of anava. Don't go to anava, because gaiva is so bad, you have to run to the extreme of shiflus haruach. Kidei shlo yisharo benefesh zecher legaiva b'shem panim. We don't even want a smidge of any gaiva, so you have to go all the way to the extreme. So even though in most cases I want you in the middle path, and your goal is the middle path, yeah, you can veer off a little bit here, a little bit there to get to the middle path. When it comes to gaiva, I don't even want you to smell of gaiva. Go to shiflus haruach. So anava is not the goal. We don't want anivas. We want shiflus haruach. We haven't defined terms yet, but this is how the Rambam starts off, and he's getting this to some extent from this hevei. Ma'od ma'od heve shva ruach, right? And what does it say about Moshe? Va'ish Moshe, but it doesn't say just anav. It says anav ma'od. So the Rambam says, what does anav ma'od mean? Shva ruach, right? Anav is one thing, but Moshe is not just anav, he's anav ma'od, and that's shva ruach, right? So shva ruach is the goal here. Anav, the middle path, is not the goal. So let's keep going. So what the Rambam already alluded to why this is, because gaiva is really bad. Spelled out a little bit more clearly in source number 3 as to why we should go to the extreme. The Bartanura says, "Apa pisha b'shar midos aderecha em sois hi ha-meshubeches," even though generally the middle path is the best. But midos ha-gaiva eno kein, comes to arrogance, it's not true. Eliyata luksa achron shal shifas aruch, we want you to go to the extreme. Now, just to be clear, if you want to do a very close reading, what does he say in terms of going to the extreme? What is the Bartanura's language? How should you go to the extreme? Yateh. What does yateh mean?
A little.
A little. Right, so go back to the Rambam and reread the Rambam. The Rambam says that when it comes to other character traits, what should you do? When it comes to other character traits, go to the third line. When it comes to other character traits, we want you to lean a little bit to one side or the other side in order so you get to the middle. So yateh for the Rambam is in other character traits in order that you end up in the middle. But he says, except for this midah of gaiva, because it's so bad, therefore, last line, what should you do? He's not saying lean. He's saying go all the way. So perhaps, I'm not sure, perhaps the Bartanura will elaborate on this in the next source, perhaps you already see a little bit of a difference here. What does it mean to go to shiflus haruach? Is it totally extreme, or is it leaning a little bit towards the extreme? So according to the Rambam, it's total extreme. According to Bartanura, probably it means total extreme too, but the language is a little less fiery, if you will. It's yateh, it's lean a little bit. El yateh l'kseh acharon shel shiflus haruach. So now he explains why. Lefi shehagaiva hi me'usa biyosir. So number one is gaiva, arrogance, is really terrible. It's really disgusting. Ve'od, but a second reason. Sherov b'nei adam nechshalim ba, v'lo b'dili inshi mina. It's really hard. right? Meaning there's an extra Yetzer Hara, if you will, towards Gaiva. And that people can most people, without working on it, will become arrogant. So unless you go to the extreme, unless you create this siyag, this barrier, you will end up arrogant. So because of that, we have to go to the extreme when it comes to this. So basically, it's such a big taiva, if you will, to be arrogant, that we need to go to the extreme, to the other side, in order to avoid that from happening. So number one, gaiva is terrible. But number two, it's also very enticing. And because of that, we go to the extreme. L'chach tzarech la'asos lahar chaki yaseira. That's why you have to go to the other extreme. Now, Rabbeinu B'chaye is going to go with this same, the source number four, is going to go with this same framework that with Anava and Shiflas HaRuach, we're going to go to the extreme, but his extreme might be different than the Rambam's extreme. Right? So if you go with this, we haven't defined terms yet, but if you want to say Anava is the sort of the middle path, so how would you define Shiflas HaRuach? Lowly of spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to be lowly of spirit? Does that mean people should spit on me? Does that mean I should let people, you know, run over me? I should be a doormat?
That's Shval Ruach for something.
Okay, so what does it mean, Shval? So what is Shval Ruach versus Shval Guf? What? So it's inside. Does it mean depressed? Does it mean, so you can't say no yet, you haven't seen anything, right? You haven't seen anything. So does it mean having a low self-image? Does it mean thinking of yourself as nothing? Does it mean thinking that I can't accomplish anything? What exactly does it mean? And here's where we're going to start getting a little uncomfortable, perhaps. Is the opposite, right? So you have to first define what gaiva is and then see what the opposite is, perhaps. We're going to see sources on this soon. I'm just, as of now, we haven't. We haven't defined our terms yet. So Rabbeinu B'chaye, according to the Rambam, though, we're setting it up for possible problematic, you know, definitions here. Because the Shval Ruach, I can see myself defining Shval Ruach as being something of very low. Right, so to give you an example of how the Rambam describes Shval Ruach, which might be something that we can't really empathize with or understand. So the Rambam gives an example of a famous story apparently back in the day where there was a person on a boat and he couldn't afford to stay on the top part of the boat, so he went to the bottom part of the boat. And he's like, you know, you can picture like one of these old boats and the, you know, the baggage is on the bottom and he's sitting with the baggage in the bottom of the boat. And some guy, again, pardon me, you should close your ears. Some guy had to go to the bathroom, and he went to the bathroom on this guy who's, you know, lower. And I think from the story, the guy, it even is clear that he was doing it on purpose. And the Rambam says that this person accepted it, and he was okay with it, and he said that it was fine. So that's a pretty extreme statement. I mean, that's Shval Ruach. You know, run all over me, I don't care. Right? So that we can't even, you know, from the modern mind, can't even comprehend such a thing. So now we're going to have to start seeing how do the sources define this, and then how are we going to perhaps incorporate this in our own lives to get the concept of the Mishnah, but perhaps something that would be adaptable to ourselves. If you remember, just to frame it and sort of make the discussion a little less extreme, we started off, I think the first shiur we gave, we discussed the flexibility of the concept of Midos. And that how Midos, we spoke about this a few times, I believe, Midos character traits adapt to times. So meaning the appropriate Midos and character traits that were appropriate during the Rambam's time, that were appropriate during Chazal's time, the essence of the character trait is still exists, but its application might change based on the time and place as to where it is. So some of these conceptions of Anava or Shiflas Ruach that we're going to see will adapt, perhaps, is going to be our job, if we do it today or next time, it's going to be our job to try to adapt it to our own contemporary lives. Yes, and then further.
Yeah, I've seen the difference between Anava and Shiflas Ruach. Anava is something that's evident to people. I mean, I can say he's a very Anav person, and it's something, it's a character trait that people recognize in somebody. Shiflas Ruach is more an inside, and it's not necessarily something that's evident to the populace.
Okay, so you want to distinguish, again, you can say that, but we haven't seen anything like that yet, so you want to distinguish between internal Shiflas Ruach, you're saying, versus Anava is how it's externalized. Perhaps, we're going to see sources on this soon. So let's keep that in mind. All right, so let's keep going. Rabbeinu B'chaye here. So there's actually two different sources. One is the first, I put a few lines in the middle of his statements here. The first is from his commentary on the Pirkei Avos, and the second is his commentary called his book called Kara Kemach, where he talks about this and quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and he elaborates on it a little bit more in the second one. So that's why I quoted to you both. Actually, let's just do the second one. So I think Bechlal, the second one, is the first one. So incorporated in the second one is what he says in the first. Just know the first is his commentary on Pirkei Avos. The second is his book Kara Kemach. So around six lines into source number four, after the five little dots. So Ein Midas Hashiflus Nitzdavinu Ba Shiyinavel Atzmo Beinyanim Haruuyim. So he says Shiflus does not mean what I just described to you in the Rambam. It does not mean that you disgust yourself and you despise yourself and put yourself low. O Shivazu Bnei Adam V'lo Yachush Aleihem, or somebody should embarrass you or disgrace you and you shouldn't care about it. Ki Adam Hachaviv Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim. I know, Freddie, you were thinking about saying this. I can read your mind, right? Because people were created in the image of God. Roi Hu Shiyachush Al Kvod Atzmo V'Amalas Nafshal Asiflus. We should care about ourselves. We should care about, as Rabbi Shiloni was alluding to before, our nefesh, if you will, our more spiritual elements of ourselves. And because we can't easily distinguish between our spiritual selves and our physical selves, meaning if somebody embarrasses me, it's not like I say, he's only embarrassing my physical self. And that I don't care about. No, he's embarrassing my nefesh. He's embarrassing my selam elokim. And that is something that I do care about. And then an added element that we'll see elaborated on in future sources is that if somebody's a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, then it's not just your ego on the line, if you will, if somebody embarrasses you, but you're also defending the honor of Torah. So if you're too easily, you know, pushed over and you too easily let things go, you might not just be embarrassing yourself, you might also be giving this guy a free pass to the Torah, which would not be allowed. Right? So his basic point is, don't think that shiflus haruach means you can do, you know, let everything happen to you. Don't stand up for your honor in necessary places. Now it becomes a little more complicated.
You have to have self-respect.
So you have to have self-respect. But now, it's one thing if you want to tell me that shiflus haruach means let people spit all over you and go to the bathroom on you and do all these crazy things, and you don't care. That's a clearly defined idea. I might not be able to do it so well, right? I might not want to do it, but it's a clearly defined idea. Now we're getting into some fuzzy definitions here. So shiflus ruach doesn't mean that you should let people just walk all over you. So what's the difference then between shiflus ruach and gaiva? Right, so somebody insults me, so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to, what, stand up for my honor? That sounds a little arrogant, right? I'm supposed to defend myself? I'm not giving you concrete answers here. I'm just saying it now becomes a little less clear. It's more clear if we give you concrete categories. Shiflus ruach means no matter what anybody does to you, you keep your mouth shut and you let it go. Maybe there's internal, maybe there's external. We'll get to that, but that's clear. Now it's not so clear. I do stand up for myself. So where does gaiva come in? Lines are a little blurred. Okay, let's keep going. We're going to take a step back before we take a step further in, and that is we're going to lower the level of discussion. What?
We're not talking about relationship with other people. We're talking about you yourself.
That's not what he's saying here.
If Koach comes to you and you start to do all these things, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know,
right, so what Moshe's character here is important, and we're going to see it's going to get very confusing, because some people are going to explain Moshe as Anav, some people are going to explain Moshe as Shvav Ruach, and it depends how you explain each term to exactly how Moshe, what Moshe's character is. So we'll get there. Let's hold off on that explanation for now. But I will answer your main point, which perhaps we should have said in the beginning. And if we were doing a full shiur on humility rather than understanding the Mishnah, I probably would have started with this, is that if you want to understand the concept of humility, remember there's three levels of analysis here. This is something that the Maharal doesn't say here, but the Maharal in the beginning, we focused on this over and over again, says that you usually find Mishnah and Pirkei Avos in the beginning at least, said three things. There's always three things. You know, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Hasad. So why three things? So the Maharal, often, what he says is that each one of those represents a different level of analysis. There's Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lechavero, and Ben Adam Laatzmo. So you have between man and God, you have between man and his fellow, and you have between man and himself. Right? So Anava, so we have to understand, what is Anava? What is Shiflus Ruach? I would say it's not just between what you're saying, Ben Adam Laatzmo. There's three, we have to look at those three levels of analysis. What does Anava and Gaiva mean in correspondence to God? What does it mean in correspondence to my fellow? And then what does it mean in correspondence to myself? So that's sort of what you're saying in terms of the internalizing and externalizing. So it's just important to keep in mind as we go along. Here, he seems to be discussing it as a Ben Adam Lachavero aspect. How do I respond to somebody who embarrasses me and stands up? Your understanding of Moshe fits well with Rabbeinu B'chai, because Rabbeinu B'chai is saying that Moshe has to stand up for himself, quote-unquote, or the Torah, or God. He's defending God's honor, so he has to stand his ground. He's not just going to be a pushover and let things go. Okay? So now, we're going to, as I started saying before, if you look in source number 5, before we go into sort of delving into this even more, we're going to lower the stakes a little bit, because there is another way out of this. Until this point, we're saying you have to be very, very humble, meaning shiflus ruach, not just anava, very, 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 very extreme. So does everybody agree to that? It's hard to disagree with the Rambam, but you could. Right? Everybody until this point, and many, almost all the Mefarshim, go with this Rambam's idea of when it comes to humility, you go to the extreme. You might have some nuances, like we just saw in Rabbeinu B'chai, maybe not the complete, total extreme, but you're still going to go to an extreme. The Sfas Emes here indicates that that might not be the way to read the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah doesn't say, Heve Shval Ruach Ma'od Ma'od. It's a fine grammatical nuance. It says, Ma'od Ma'od Heve Shval Ruach. So we understood until this point that it means be very, very humble. The Sfas Emes says if it meant to be very, very humble, it shouldn't have said ma'od ma'od heve shval ruach. It should say heve shval ruach ma'od ma'od. What's the very, very going on? The very, very is going on shval ruach. If the very is going on shval ruach, then it should flip it. It should say heve shval ruach ma'od ma'od. Be very, very humble. But that's not what it says. It says, Me'od, me'od, heve shval ruach. So read the Sfas Emes here. I know this is confusing, but read it inside. You'll see it's a little bit clearer. Ein ha'perish liyo shval me'od. Doesn't mean be very exceedingly humble. Dim kein havale le'meimar heve shval ruach me'od, me'od. Rak ha'perish lir'os heitev eich lios tamid shval ruach is a typo. Shval ruach. V'kai al rov ha'zihiru shetzarech lios bezeh. It's talking about, the ma'od ma'od is talking about the level of energy that you're putting into being humble. So the goal isn't to be extremely humble. The goal is to be humble. But you have to strive exceedingly to be that humble.
Right?
So I see some confused faces here. Let's do it again. Okay. Right. The ma'od ma'od is going on the effort. It's not going on the level of humility. Everybody until now is saying the ma'od ma'od is going on the level of humility. Be extremely, exceedingly humble to the extreme, extreme humility. The Sfas Emes is saying it doesn't mean extreme humility. It means be middle of the road humble, extremely, right? Meaning try really, really hard to get there because it's really hard.
Work on your character to be humble.
Work very, very hard. It's a grit message. It's not a message on how humble you should be. The level of humility, let's call that, if you want, even though it doesn't use this terminology, let's call it a middle path humility. But do that extremely well. What? So what about the worm? That's the motivation, meaning be middle of the path humble because you're going to be a worm. So now we're not up to the worms yet. We'll get to the worms. Okay, so that's just a Sfas Emes. Now take that svasa emes, keep it in your back pocket to sort of, you can always go back to this. If at any point you get uncomfortable with how extremely humble some of these commentators are saying we should get, what the definition of sval ruach is, you're always, number one, remember that it doesn't necessarily apply nowadays, you know, the concepts of character change over time. But number two, you can always just take the svas emes back in from the back of your pocket, put it in the front of your mind and say, okay, I can follow the svas emes. Doesn't mean be extremely humble. It means be humble extremely. And therefore, whatever they're telling me about being sval ruach, I don't necessarily have to incorporate into my personality. All right, so let's keep going here. Source number six. Somebody give me the time, please.
10:02.
Okay, so we still have a little bit of time. I'm not sure we're going to finish everything today. We'll see how much we can do. So 10:02, source number six. So the Magen Avos of the Rashbats, he's going to do a few things for us, but most importantly, what he's going to do, he's going to give us a brief overview for, in terms of how humility and arrogance come up in other places in Chazal. Remember, this is not a state. This is not the only time in Chazal that you see statements on humility. So what he does, not many other commentators do here, what he does is he gathers all of the statements, not all, but many, many statements regarding humility and arrogance and gives them to you in like bullet point form. Like, look here where it says this, look here where it says that, look here where it says this. So I shortened it a little bit because he quotes the whole concepts and the psukim and stuff. So I just made it more concrete and clear. So let's try to go through this relatively quickly because you'll get the main point even if you don't get every single reference. So Levitas Ishiavna Omer Aperish. Bala Hazir ala Gaiva ki mida ra'a. So he's trying to tell us to stay away from arrogance because it's really bad. Virazals, Rabbeinu Zichronam Levracha, Harbu Lahochiach al Zos Hamida Hara. They spent a lot of time telling us how bad arrogance is. V'amru, they said in the Gemara in Sota, Komi Shumizga Doma L'Oved Avodazara. If you are arrogant, it is as if you worship Avodazara. Amru, Komi Shiesh Bo Gasas Ruach Royu L'Gado Kashera. If somebody has arrogance, you should cut him down like you cut down a tree that was worshipped with Avodazara. Komi Shiesh Bo Gasas Ruach Ki'ilu Oved Avodazara. It's as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, if you're arrogant, kilu kafar be'ikar, it's as if you're denying God's existence. She'ena zochel t'chias ha'mesim, you don't get t'chias ha'mesim. Komi she'esh bo gas ruach, afilu shechina mi'alel salav, the shechina's crying, complaining about you. She'ena gaim ba'im al gasas ruach, that's what gasas ruach, arrogance causes. Tzaras, v'amru besota, perakam akana le'ishto. Amarava b'shamta de isbe b'shamta de lesbe, because this one we'll spend a little bit more time on. So the Gemara in Soto that deals with this has a dispute, and the dispute is, we won't test you, Jake. The dispute on the Gemara is Daf Hey, it's a long time ago, right? So the dispute is, they just did a CM on Soto. So the dispute is how much level of humility should you have? It's really our question. So the first opinion in the Gemara is that you have to balance it. It's shamta de isbe b'shamta de lesbe. It's almost like, you know, it's not an appropriate word to say. You're either way you go, it's a catch-22, right? You're going to get excommunicated if you have arrogance, you're going to get excommunicated if you don't have arrogance. So either way you're getting excommunicated. Meaning what? Is that you have to create this proper balance between there are certain times where it's appropriate to be arrogant, and it's certain times where it's inappropriate to be arrogant. And if you do it wrong, you know, there are heavy consequences. So it's a really important trait to stay away from arrogance and to be humble. But you have to know where to apply in the right context. That's the first opinion. The second opinion, Hayadaita shel Rav lahatir chelek katan. So that's Rav's opinion, is that you can have a little bit of gaiba. The Gemara actually says does anybody know what it says? An eighth of an eighth. You can have 1/64th of your personality can be gaiba. Again, that's not very concrete. It doesn't really tell us exactly what that means. But the point here is that there could be a little bit of gaiva that can come in at the right times and that it's appropriate. And not only is it appropriate, if you don't have that gaiva at that time, it's bad. Meaning you should have some level of arrogance at sort of 1/64th of the time, meaning whatever that context is. V'chein Rav hitir l'tamar chacham echad mishmona b'shminas, that's what I just alluded to. Rav said that a tamar chacham can have 1/64th of gaiva. But then, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo mina v'lo miksasa, v'afilu zeh ashir katan asur. Rav Nachman comes along and says, I don't want any little bit of gaiva at all. Not even 1/64th. You can't have anything. So that's what the Gemara says. Two opinions in the Gemara. The Rambam here, and the way that the many commentators read the Mishnah here, is that this Mishnah is going according to that opinion. No gaiva at all. Have a ma'od ma'od shval ruach. No gaiva at all. Not allowed at all. But, so you have two things come out of this. There's at least opinion that says you could have some level of gaiva. Right? We might, this Mishnah might not be following that according to these commentaries, but we find somebody in the Gemara who says you can have some level of gaiva. The reason why Rav Nachman says I don't want any bit of it is because of what we saw. It's too damaging, you're going to misuse it, you can say 1/64th, but then you're going to end up having 1/63rd, you know, you're not going to be able to level it appropriately. Right? So, but at least there's one opinion that says you can have some level of gaiva. Let's keep going for a second, then we'll pause for questions. Ki harbe shemos shel gnus nikru l'misgah, gog v'alev, inayim ramos, ram, yahir, many negative synonyms for being arrogant. V'lashon chachamim gas ruach, ulefish shezos hamid l'hirah, mevi adam l'chpor b'misha bar'o, since it's so bad. And not only is it so bad, this is an added badness, is that it's the bein adam l'makom aspect. If you're arrogant, it's going to affect your relationship with God. You're going to think you're everything, and who do you need God for? What do you have to daven for? What do you need to ask for anything? You're in charge of everything. What do you need anybody for? Right. So it comes for you to lichpor, to be kofar be'ikr, to deny God's existence. Vafilu hamelech, the king, shein b'Yisrael mishoroy lizgals kamo. He has every right to be arrogant. He's the king. Still, nemar alav vilti rum levavo me'achav. The pasuk says he cannot be more arrogant. He can't think he's better than anybody else. And it says, all, and that I think is fascinating for broader points, his next quote, V'amar, V'amru, it says in Mifchar Hapninim Shar Ha'anaga, so he quotes the Sefer, Ki Aristotelus, Amar, B'mitzvosav L'Talmud Alexandrus. So Aristotelus told his Talmud Alexandrus. So these are not, you know, Chazal. These are Greek philosophers. So, Ein Machshiva, Ein Mechashivos HaNefesh Yizga HaMelech HaLa'am. You're the king, Alexandros, don't think you're so great. It's not good for the king to be arrogant over the nation. V'nemar al echad ma'amalachim. They said one of these kings. It doesn't seem to be talking about Jewish kings. Ki hayu atzlo anashim laila echad. There were people with him. V'kam hu ba'atzmo v'tiken haner. The king got up, fixed the lamp. He got up and turned off the lights. Amrul, they said to him, lama lo tzivisim. Just tell us. We're here. We're your servants. We're here to serve you. Amr lahem, melech kamti melech shafti. I got up as a king, I went back as a king. Meaning, it didn't hurt my kingship that I went up to turn off the light. Right, so that's humility. Al-Kain Hizir of Levitas al-Zev Amar Ma'od Ma'od HaVishvah Ruach. I love this last point because he made his point. He quoted to you 10 Gemaras that said how bad Gaiva is and how you should be humble. And at the end, he stuck in two examples from Greek philosophy to prove his point. He didn't have to do that, but he did it anyway. So this goes into something we spoke about earlier when we spoke about the Greek philosophy more in depth, is that you do have statements within the commentators. This is a very friendly statement to philosophy, to outside philosophies. Right? You don't have to always be denigrating of what other people say just because it's not in the Torah. He brings proofs from outside philosophies to bolster, or at least to go along with the same thing that Chazal say. So that's Magen Avos. So he bring, and I didn't quote you all, but he keeps going and he tells you many sources for why Anava is so great. But what you have here, I think, is a good example of a commentator on Pirkei Avos who wants to expand your vision to show you that this isn't just about this statement in Pirkei Avos. There's a broader picture here that spans many, many different places in Chazal. Okay, now. Can you say something? Yes, you can say something.
This is like the juxtaposition of this story that the king remained the king, he didn't turn the light. I know it's very distasteful, the first story about the person who was mistreated in the boat. But the truth is that person is saying the same thing. I am not lessened by your horrible behavior. So I know my value, good, low or not low, it doesn't change because you're becoming harder. It doesn't say it's okay to do it. He just said, I can handle it because he's not
Okay, I like it. So maybe that's a very healthy self-esteem then. Right? The question is it worth me standing up for myself at that point? That would be... Right, so maybe it depends on the context. Yeah.
I was thinking about the machloket between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. That was a very heated thing. Wasn't that a little bit also due to gaiva?
Okay, so Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, right? So it could be that's not gaiva per se, that he was being so sort of mean to Rabbi Yehoshua. But again, that's a controversial Gemara in the sense of we don't know how to evaluate Rabbi Gamliel in that. Meaning some the Gemara seems to indicate that we are, I think we spoke about this once in more detail. The Gemara seems to indicate that we are putting down the Nasi here. That Rabbi Gamliel did not do the right thing. Rabbi Gamliel would say, I'm not being arrogant, I'm trying to demonstrate the power of the position. That would presumably be his statement. And that's why this is such a hard thing to understand. And that's why gaiva is such a hard thing to say, this is appropriate gaiva, this is inappropriate gaiva. And that's why the Rambam says, don't even play around here, right? Go to the opposite extreme. So we're still a little fuzzy. We still don't know when is it appropriate, when is it okay, when is it the Talmud Chacham, when is it the position, when is it Moshe, when is it Nasi, that I could stand up and I could be a little bit strict and mean. And then when do I sort of go to the other extreme? So we don't have a... We didn't define it yet. So we'll define it. We're not going to define it. What we'll see is we'll define it, but you're going to see that people are going to define it differently. So that's why I said at the end, you're probably going to come away just as confused as you were beforehand, maybe even more confused, because this is a confusing topic, because everybody talks about it a little bit differently. Everybody has a little bit of different definition as to what they're talking about. So when you go through it, you come out, you're like, okay, so what do I do? Right? So hopefully, we're not done yet. Hopefully by the end of this discussion, we'll have a little bit better idea of what to do, although no guarantees. But we're not even there yet because we haven't even seen. You'll see on the next, we'll have to do it next week. But in source number 9, source number 10, they have a little bit of a better definition. But we still have more to do. What time are we at now?
10:15.
Okay, so let's call it a day. Next week we'll pick up with sources 7 and on. We're going to still have to define... What's next week? Shmuel Thomas, we're here, no locks, right? Good? Right. So it's a fast day next week, but we'll still go. But you're just... that we'll find out next week if that's true. So we'll continue next week in the same idea, same questions. Hopefully we'll have a bit of better understanding by the end. Okay, let us bench.